First, on a personal level, I can't describe what a kavod it is for our community and for me personally to have Rav Kahn here in the shul. As a young man, when I was in high school already, it was the first time I ever heard Rav Kahn speak. He spoke to the MTA boys at a mishmar, and I remember almost word for word of the speech, and I do not have a good memory, but it was that inspiring and that life-changing. And then each time in yeshiva that Rav Kahn would give a sichas musar, the Beis Medrash would be packed, and with very good reason. I never had, of all the years, whenever I've seen Rav Kahn walking down the street in yeshiva or any other time, I never really had the courage to tell him this. But I remember very clearly, Rav Kahn said, he was talking about role models, and I was a high school boy, I was an MTA kid. And he was talking about role models in life and who we look up to and what's going to be with us if we don't have the right kinds of role models. And I remember how strongly he said to a bunch of high school kids that you boys don't think of this right now, but one day you're going to have children and your son is going to come over to you and he's going to ask you, can you learn with me a Mishnah? And you might have to say, no, I can't learn with you a Mishnah, but I could tell you all about this rock star, that movie star, that athlete. And then Rav Kahn said, but you're not going to allow that to happen. And you're going to start to learn to the point where if your son comes over and says, can you learn with me a Mishnah? You're going to tell him, I can learn with you the first Mishnah, the last Mishnah, and every Mishnah in between. And it was the first time that it ever occurred to me that, you know, one day I want to learn Mishnayos with my kids. I'm happy to report to Rav Kahn that years later I have four boys, Kanai Nahara, and I learned with each of them the first Mishnah, the last Mishnah, and every Mishnah in between. But tonight is not certainly about the incredible hashpa that Rav Kahn has had on me personally. Tonight is about the yahrzeit of a very, very special Jew, Mr. Brenner Chaim Yehuda Ben Zev Halevi. And for those of us who knew him, I certainly only knew him toward the end, but Mr. Brenner was someone who had an incredible ahavas haTorah. He lived for Torah, and his ahavas haTorah grew stronger as he got older. I certainly fondly recall our Simchas Torah that we got to spend with him here in the shul, the tears of joy that came to his eyes when he saw people celebrating and exulting in the Torah, and how much he enjoyed attending shiurim and learning Torah and coming up with his own chidushei Torah. And there's nobody that represented Torah more to Mr. Brenner than Rav Kahn did. Rav Kahn's Torah is the kind of Torah that he would drink with thirst and that he was always eager to hear more of. And Aseres Yimei Tshuva is when his yahrzeit falls out, is not a coincidence. It's a time that we emphasize tshuva, but tshuva is accomplished very often in a very impactful way through Torah. Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha. Kichui machem dvarim, the Medrash says, divrei Torah, v'shuvu al Hashem, that we return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with divrei Torah. Rav Kahn represents Torah to the Brenner family, certainly, but to large swaths of Klal Yisrael. For those who are not familiar, he's a Rosh Yeshiva in YU, one of the great, great Talmidim of his Rebbe, of Salvechik Zichrono Livracha, and Rav Kahn has built a shul, a Beis Medrash in Flatbush, where there is Torah going on kimat 24/7, maybe 27, but not 24/7, unbelievable. It's an inspiration for all of us who are trying to strive for that, and it's therefore a very, very great kavod to have Rav Kahn share with us Divrei Torah and Divrei Sarus in the heels of coming up on Yom HaKippurim. Zecher Nishmas Chaim Yehuda Ben Zev Halevi.
See, that kind of introduction, I don't know if it's good for my anava, but maybe if a person knows that he has the capacity to that kind of hashva, it's just a question mark, so why didn't you do even more? So maybe it is good for my anava. You know, I'm coming from a bar mitzvah on the other end of the city, in Washington Heights. And I'm coming to celebrate the neshama of a very great person, a Rebbe of mine. There's a child, on the one hand, who's just getting a little neshama extra, which the Zohar says, by a bar mitzvah bacher, a little neshama comes extra into the bar mitzvah bacher. And here the neshama departs from the world. And what happens in between is really what Aseret Simei Tshuva is all about. How did we live our lives? That bar mitzvah bacher has a very great chance to live a great life. And the person that we are here, that binds us all together, is a person that I believe not only went directly into Gan Eden without a doubt, but also left a legacy, and I'm speaking about myself. He left a legacy for me of what Avas HaTorah is really all about. You cannot imagine, there are 70 people in this year that I give Mondays and Wednesdays in our shul. And this person comes in, he's wheeled in a wheelchair. And the look on his face is one of Kedusha. And the Simchas HaTorah becomes a Simchas HaChaim. And at that moment he becomes the Rebbe of every single one in that room. And I might add that this is not a figure of speech. The Gemara in the Maseches Avodah Zarah teaches us that you can become a Rebbe even if you led a most profligate life. Rabbi Loza ben Dudaya led a useless life, totally useless. At the very end, he did a major tshuva from which he died. He died from his tshuva. And the Bas Kol comes out and says that Rabbi Elazar ben Dudaya is Mezuman L'chai Olam Haba, Rebbe Elazar ben Dudaya. Bocha Rebbe V'omar, Yesh Kona Olamo B'Shoa Achas, V'lo Oda L'Shekorin Oso Rebbe. And everyone who learns this Gemara, and I believe the Mefarshim accommodate that point of view, think that what Rebbe was saying is, look at how great the power of tshuva is. Yesh kona olamo b'shoa achas. He's mezuman l'chai olam haba. Ani akotan, I dare to suggest another pshat in why Rebbe was crying. I think Rebbe was crying because of a life that was wasted. I think that Rebbe was crying because there was absolutely nothing to show for that life. And now we learn of the capacity of this person. And suddenly we realize that he could have been a Rebbe Elazar ben Dudaya, who raised a family, who had Talmidim, who made his imprint on Shas. He might have been one of the Tanoim. Because a person who's capable of that kind of last moment tshuva, who knows what his Kochos HaNefesh really were? Who wants to live the kind of life that is kona olomo b'sha'a achas? That is not the purpose that we were placed here on earth. Our job is to be kona olomo b'chol ha'shals, b'chol shals achayim. And I was thinking, you know, Mr. Brenner used to come in and he gave everyone an unbelievable booster shot of what it means to live a life of avas HaTorah, of what it means to go through the travails of a body that just doesn't want to respond to you and is three quarters neshama already. And yet, the simcha on his face, I wish I had a video to show you. You cannot imagine what it did to all of us. You cannot imagine the roshem that it made. And in that way, he became a Rebbe, Zalmi Brenner. A Rebbe to every single one of us. But it wasn't a kona olamo b'sha achas. It was a kona olamo every shir and every moment. And it went on for a very long time. I can't describe how much I personally miss him. And I don't want anybody to cry around here, so I'm not going to dwell upon it. But I feel that the Rebbe is gone. I really do. I feel that You know, everybody can be a Rebbe. And everybody can be a Rebbe in a certain way. And I had a very great Rebbe. I had many, in fact. I went to the shurim of the Rav, as you heard. I also went to the shurim of Rav Moshe. I have smichas from great people. But you know, right up there in that pantheon, if you'll allow that word, is a Yid whose Petira left a tremendous gap, a tremendous hole in my heart. And it's hard to describe how a person who yesterday was a total stranger could have such an incredible impact. But it's something that words, they just don't mean enough. They're just not enough. It's very hard to be masbir, the kind of roshan that made, day in, day out, week in, week out, on every single one of us. I have a suspicion, and I'm not saying this lightly, that the Olam looked forward as much to see him and his Simchas HaTorah and his Avas HaTorah as they did to hear the Shir itself. Yehi Zichroi Baruch, what can I tell you? Should be a Melitz Yosha for all of us, the Mishpachan. Should have Gezunt and Nachas and Hatzlocha B'chol Inyon and B'geshem B'ruach. I have to tell you that what I'm saying, of course, is B'shus Marad Asra Hadein, and following, in English there's a word career. I don't know if you could use, in Yiddish they also said it about Rabbonim, sein Karriere, his career. It's a life's mission, and it's an Avodas Hashem, and it's something very special. And I don't have to tell you, because you are with him all the time, but it's really something special also. It should be Matzliach. Matzliach. Say in your Mishpacha, you know, you fit in the Mishnah is from beginning to end, and then you have Shas from beginning to end. Bavli, Yerushalmi, Tosefta, Sefri, Sefra. I'm wishing you a very long life. And now to the shir. So I had a choice. I had a choice to give you a shir that is hashkafa. I've been saying so much hashkafa lately, I think it sort of exhausted me a little bit. I'd like to say a little halacha too. So this shir is about one of the great concepts of Hashkafa, but it's a halacha. It's about Bakoshas Mechila. So the issue specifically, and this very huge topic that I chose to speak about, is the following question. Reuven ba'avult Shimon. He hurt Shimon in some way or another, in a Bein Odom L'Chavero situation, and now he has to do tshuva. We know that the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Yuma at the end, that Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper Ad Sheyiratze Es Chaveiro. I might tell you that there's a Pirush in the Ein Yaakov called the Rif. It's not Rabbi Yitzhak Alfasi, it's Rabbi Yoshiyahu Pinto. And he was one of the great Mefarshim of the Agadita of Shas in the Ein Yaakov. And he writes something that's truly astonishing. He says that the Pshat of this Mishnah is Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper on anything Ad Sheyiratze Es Chaveiro. Meaning, in other words, the normal way of learning this is that there's Averus Ben Adam LaMakom, and that you have to take care of with the Ribbono Shlom. So you do tshuva, and you clap al chet, and you say all the right things, and you mean it, and you're okay. But when it comes to other people, Ben Adam LaChaveiro, that is something that you cannot simply say Ribbono Shlom Chatos Yavisi Pashaiti. You have to ask Mechila, and you have to be Mephias, the other person. And of course, if you took money from him, etc., etc., you have to return the money, naturally. But if you don't, then you don't have the kapara on those in Yonim, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. That is the Pashup Shat. He says you don't have any kapara. Yom Kippur is simply not Mechaper. So this is very heavy stuff. So the question that I have is this. Reuven Ba'avul Chimon. And now Shimon is a big tzaddik. And Shimon, b'chadri chadorim, in fact, every night, he opens up his big siddur, and he reads in the Kriya Shema Sha'alamita, Hareini molche l'chol mi shechoto kenegdi. But there's a little bit of a knetch. He doesn't just say it as a glib stock phrase and expression. He says, I know that Chaim Yankel, in our case Reuven, ba'avled me and did this and this to me, and I'm moichel him b'mechila gemura, I have erased it from my heart. Is it good enough? That's my question. You know that there's another place where we do that. On Yom Kippur evening, there's something in the Mevzorim that's called Tfilo Zaka. The Tfilo Zaka composed by the Chayyodom. In that Tfilo Zaka, which is one of the favorite tfilos of the Rav Zichrono Livracha, by the way, and the Rav explained that that tfilo was part of the accommodation to the Ramban Shita, that you have to walk into Yom Kippur Mamish pure and after having been Mizvada. So we say this Vidui. And this Vidui has many components, very critical Hashkofa components. But in that Vidui you say, I am Moichel, came out the same Nusach, I am Moichel everybody for anything that they did to me, except for money that I could be motzi min adayonim, etc., etc., investment. I'm not moichel every dollar that's owed to me, etc., etc., but I'm moichel the avla, I'm moichel the wrong that was done to me. So I'm asking, is that enough? Now that Shimon has been moichel at night or Erev Yom Kippur in his tefillos, does Reuven have any reason to go to Shimon and ask for forgiveness? This is my question. So we begin with certain stories in the Gemara and Daf Pei Zayin in Maseches Yuma, the very end of the Masechta. What are those stories? So there are four stories that are told in the Gemara. One story is not so relevant to us, so I'm not going to mention it. But then the Gemara has three stories. In those three stories, the most famous one is the story of Rav and the butcher. Rav, you see, well, let me read it to you in the original. Very short. Rav Havali Nilsa Bahadei Hahutabcha. Rav had an asek, he had something to do with the butcher. The butcher, in other words, had wronged Rav. Rav is the Godel Hador. So this butcher did something really terrible. Now, lo osa lekame. And the butcher never showed up to ask for mechila. B'mali yoyma de kippure, on Erev Yom Kippur, omar ihu, Rav said to himself, so to speak, ezil ano lepiyuse le. Rav was a tremendous tzaddik, besides being the Godel Hador. He was the tzaddik Hador. And Rav says, I'm going to make it possible for him to ask me mechila. I'm going to the butcher shop. Well, on the way to the butcher shop, pogabe Rav Huna. Rav Huna meets Rav, and he says, Rav is always with Torah, always giving shiurim. He's always in the Beis Medrash. Erev Yom Kippur, if you're not in the Beis Medrash, you're eating and drinking, right? Kol Eichel v'Shoise b'Chi Kilu Hisana Chi v'Asiri. Where's Rav going? So Rav tells him, "Lefiyuse leplanya, I'm going to the butcher." And of course, Rav Huna knew the whole story. Apparently, Amar Ozil Abba leMiktal Nafsha. Abba was the name that they called him. Father, Rav is going to kill somebody. Rav is going to commit murder. Well, what does he mean and what happened, of course? You can guess. Ozal v'komiluye. He went into the butcher shop, and here he is, Rav v'chvodo v'atzmo. And the butcher is busy hacking the flesh, and he looks up, and he sees Rav. What should normally happen? It's Erev Yom Kippur, Rav, the Godel Hador, and Rav is coming to the butcher. Could you imagine? Doli Einei V'chazia, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Rav. Amale Abba'at, you're Rav? Get out! Zil! The Gemara speaks in very clipped language. It's very interesting. He told him to get out. Lesli Mil Sabadoch, I have nothing to talk to you about. While he was busy with his cleaver, He hit a bone. The bone flew up into the air, went into his brain, and killed him. L'kayim ha-shenemar, that Rav told him, you're going to kill somebody. Because Rav knew the butcher, I guess, a little. I mean, Rav Huna. Rav Huna knew the butcher a little better than Rav did. Maybe Rav was full of hope, and it's Erev Yom Kippur, so I'm going. U'machyei b'kuei v'katle. And it killed him. This story would seem to indicate something about our question. Why? Because Rav could simply have stayed home, and surely Rav was as frum as everybody who says the Kriya Shema Shalamita, and Rav could easily have said, Hareini Meichel Es HaKatzov, the Mechila Gemura Lachalutin, and that would be the end of it. So isn't it a Raya Mefureshes that that's not good enough? That you have to have the pius, you have to have the busha, you have to have all the ingredients that are only possible. Of course, you'll ask me, but isn't it possible to do bakoshes mechila yidei shaliach? And there you don't really have. Well, first of all, you have it with the shaliach, because the shaliach will hear all of those things that the other fellow says. But if you can't do it, then you have to use a shaliach. But ideally, you should go yourself, but not go at all and rely on the other person's Mechila, even if you know that he gives it, no, that you cannot do. And that's why Rav went. That is L'chaira, the Raya. Is it in fact the Raya? So I'll tell you. In the Sfarim, in the Mefarshim, this Gemara is actually brought in the name of various sources. And it would be the impression that they are maskim to this idea. That they are maskim to this idea that you have to go. And the Raya is from Rav. For example, the Sefer Pele Yoetz in the Erech Teshuvah, he writes, the Nehi de Moil Harbe, if the person says at night, Hareini Moichel v'Soileach, it does help. It's not a complete waste. So he doesn't really explain it. He just says it does help that he did b'kriyas shma shel amita, that he was meichel, but afal pikein, it's a good idea, and it's important that a person should go and do what is responsible for him to do, the responsible thing, to go and l'ratzos to be mefayis es chaver. But his raya teda, the hamaisi b'shas uvda derav da have a mesader umamtsi nafshe letabacha b'chol ma'al yoyma de kipure kehecha de lishal minei mechila the tevele kapora shmamina the losagi kisheyimchol hanegbal me'atzmo lechud. So he says the raya is from Rav. Why does Rav have to go to the butcher? And it's even more compounded than that because Rav Huna warned him. So Rav could have turned around and said, well, under such circumstances, especially, I'll just be meichel in private, and that will be the end of it. So you could answer, by the way, if you want, that Rav was interested not in the narrow concern of bakoshas mechila and this halacha of ad sheiratzes chavero ein yom ha-kippur mechaper. Rav wanted to renegotiate the whole personality of the butcher. You know, if you're the Gadol Hador, then you're a responsible person for the Dor. And if the butcher is such a chayara, which obviously turned out he was incorrigible, you know, he was hopeless. But if he is such a chayara, and you have the ability to do something about it, then maybe there's an inyan of arvus that is extending itself far beyond the narrow confines of the question that we raised at the beginning. Maybe it isn't an issue of bakoshes mechila and in which way it works, but rather an issue of being the Rebbe of the butcher. Of being the Mora Derech of this butcher. But the Pele Yoetz takes it for granted that this proves without a shadow of a doubt that even in the Bakoshes Mechila, you have to go yourself. And since he didn't go, and Rav showed up at his doorstep to facilitate that Bakoshes Mechila, which of course, unfortunately, never happened. So we have now a question. Is it such a raya? Is it really proof positive? So why should it not be? So the fact of the matter is that this was Erev Yom Kippur. Does that make a difference? The story happens to be Dafka Erev Yom Kippur. So, in the various Mekoros that we have about Yom Kippur, there is a very famous Medrash Pirkei de Rebbe Elazar, which is quoted by the Rosh in the back of Maseches Yuma. It's very easy to find. And the Rosh essentially quotes the Pirkei de Rebbe Elazar Medrash, and the Medrash says that on Erev Yom Kippur, we make shalom with one another. You know why? Because we're supposed to be like malachim. We don't eat and we don't drink on Yom Kippur like malachim. We have no relations like malachim. We have no... There were tzaddikim used to stand all of Yom Kippur. Why do we stand? Because we're like malachim. And malachim have no knees. Raglehem regel yishara. They have no knees. They have no joints. The Medrash calls them kfitzim. Kfitzim in modern Hebrew, I think, means springs. But it means they have no joints. So they can't bend their knee. They can't bend their legs. So they straight. So when we stand, we're not bending our legs. So that's why we stand. Malochim is simas shalom beinehem. Derech agav, I once asked a question. We say Kaddish, and we say, Osa shalom bimeromav, hu yaseh shalom aleinu. And I don't know if you ever wondered, but there's a subtle shift in the use of the prepositions here. Osa shalom bimeromav. Hashem makes shalom in the malachim, amongst the malachim. Hu yaseh shalom doesn't say banu. Why doesn't he use the same word, the same base? Oseh shalom bimeromav, hu yaseh shalom banu. If you want to say shalom aleinu, then why don't you say oseh shalom al meromav? Why the shift? Bimeromav aleinu. And the answer is simple. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can legislate the malachim. We have bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot force us to make shalom. He can suggest it, he can give siyata d'shmaya, and that's what we're asking for siyata d'shmaya. But ultimately it's aleinu, it's like a cloud that hovers over us. Ufros aleinu sukha shlomecha. But we have to pull the cloud down. So this is the question. Maybe Rav, because it was Erev Yom Kippur, did not go to the butcher because of this detail in Pius, but rather he went to the butcher because he wanted that there should be shalom. And shalom is a critical ingredient for Yom Kippur. And that is something that a number of Svarim point out, that maybe the Raya of the Pele Yoetz isn't necessarily conclusive. Now, in the various Svarim, before I continue, I just want to mention that there's another story in the Gemara. Because as I pointed out to you, Rav's story is Bedafka Erev Yom Kippur. Before that, there's a much shorter story, right before the Maisa with Rav, which says, Rav Zeira, ki havi le milsa bahadi inish, havi cholif v'toni l'kamei u'mamtzilei, ki hecha d'neisei v'neipuklei midaitei. It's the same thing. Whenever somebody wronged him, he would make it his business to make his presence known to that fellow so that the person should remind himself of the avla that he did and ask for mechila. It doesn't say there that it happened dafka Erev Yom Kippur. So therefore, we may bring a raya from Reb Zeira, even though we cannot bring a raya from Rav. When we go to the Mishneh Berurah, to the Shulchan Aruch, you'll find an interesting thing, but it's not really a raya to anything at all, because the halachas of tshuva that are in Orach Chaim don't have a birth of their own, B-E-R-T-H. They don't have a place of their own. There's no Hilchos tshuva in all of Shulchan Aruch. Arachayim Yeridayev and Ezra Chayshe Mishpat. Where is Hilchas Tshuva? The little that there is, it's in the halachas of Yom Kippur. But that's not necessarily because of all of the things that we just said about Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, I'm talking about. That's simply because that's where Hilchos Tshuva are. So it's no raya that it's necessarily to be associated with Yom Kippur. This is something that everybody should ask for Mechila all the time. But, nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah says that part of the reason that it has to do with Yom Kippur is because it's the last opportunity. You know, we say Kol Nidre. And the question is, why? Why are we bothering with this? So I'd like to give a little bit of a hakdama in Hashkafa. There's something that troubled me for the longest time. You open up a Machzor of Yom Kippur, and you discover a very interesting thing, that the very first pasuk that we bring on Yom Kippur night, the first Inyan HaTfilah, is V'nislach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael v'lagei agol b'soicham ki l'chol on b'shgoga. And then V'yoyma Hashem salachti ki dvarecha. We'll leave the V'nislach ki l'chol on b'shgoga alone. But I'll just tell you very briefly a very beautiful mashal of the great Baal Mesholim. Who is that? The Dubna Magid. I know you were about to say Rav Shvadron, or maybe the one who writes the books, the Magid speaks, but the ultimate Magid in all time is the one who gave Musa to the Vilna Gaon. And that's the Dubna Magid, Rabbi Yaakov Krantz. So Rabbi Yaakov Krantz, Zichron Levracha, he tells a beautiful mashal. What does it mean, Kilochalam Bishgaga, that people who do things amaze it all the time? How can you justify and say Hashem should forgive them, Kilochalam Bishgaga? So he says that there was this Ganav, to make it very short. There was this Ganav that was looking for an opportunity, and someone had just built this incredible mansion, you know, this real, Xanadu type of place, and this huge ballroom, the centerpiece of which was this incredibly magnificent and super expensive chandelier, which he had to hang from the roof, and of course not going to use nails because he's so wealthy, so he used gold bars. The Ganav saw in the middle of the night, he saw these gold bars glistening in the moonlight, and he said he has an opportunity. So he scampered up, very capable fellow. And he started prying the bars, which came loose. And when he pried off the third or fourth bar, there was this huge noise because the chandelier had crashed to the ground. And the dog started barking, the guards coming, and he gets to court, and the judge says to him, 20 years, I don't know, whatever. So he says, what did I do? I just took a couple of gold bars. He says, you know what you did? And then he describes to him the whole consequences that millions and millions of dollars these gold bars cost. Says the Dubna Magid, we have no idea of the consequences of our averus. Comes along the Nefesh HaChayim, and he spells it out in his own way, and it's full in all the Sifrei Kabbalah, that any person that does a mitzvah, does an avera, there are cosmic consequences to that. Cosmic. The power that we have is so enormous, it's greater than any potentate and greater than any bomb. So that's what he meant, kilocholam bishgoga, because who knows that? Who realizes it? So that's the v'nislach. It's not on the act of mezid. It's in the implications of the act, the consequences of the act. But that's one pasuk. What about the other pasuk? What was troubling me about the pasuk? It's a nice pasuk. Vayoma Hashem salachti kitvarecha. What was bothering me was very simple. Where does that pasuk come from? What is its context? And the answer is the pasuk comes after the Chet HaMeraglim. And Meraglim is Tisha B'Av, not Yom Kippur. You know what's Yom Kippur? Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum B'Chanun. That's Yom Kippur. So why is it that Dafka, at the beginning, will say plenty of Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum B'Chanun? All the slichas, Yom Kippur night. But the first cannon, boom, the first resounding expression of kapara, of slicha, of mechila, this is Vayomer Hashem salachti kidvarecha. Why? And it was bothering me for a long time, and then I think I have the answer. Because I opened up the Ramban once, and the Ramban says something very interesting. Dafka in the parsha of the Meraglim in Dvarim. Because the parsha is repeated. So the Ramban says, I don't understand something. Why doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu finish the story and talk about how he pleaded on behalf of Bnei Yisrael? Why doesn't he talk about what he did for them, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought for them forgiveness, and he didn't destroy them outright? And he says, well, you might think, because he was the on of Mikol Adam, so maybe it's called bragging. He says, but Torah, and look at what happened when he spoke in Parshas Akev about the Chet HaEgel, and he speaks at length about how he implored HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how he saved the day for them. So that can't be the reason. So then why doesn't he speak about what he did for Bnei Yisrael, Benogeya, the Chet of the Meraglim? And the Ramban relies on an Eben Ezra, on the pshat of these words, Vayoyme Hashem Solachti Kidvarecha, where Kidvarecha is actually reducing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Bnei Yisrael. Because what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for, says the Eben Ezra, and the Ramban repeats, is that they should not be turned into another nation. They should not be all wiped out. But he didn't ask that this generation should still be allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Had he repeated this, 40 years later is now Parshas Dvarim, and he's telling the story. If he repeats it, that it's impossible that they should not have wanted to stone him, because now they discover for the first time that Hashem could have given them more even. And it's Moshe Rabbeinu that stops him and says, but not this generation. This generation dies in the desert. So the question now becomes, what's the pshat? Moshe Rabbeinu is fighting for Bnei Yisrael constantly. The Teretz is, they can't go into Eretz Yisrael. They can't go into Eretz Yisrael because they're not roi to go into Eretz Yisrael, and they will never be roi to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's an amazing thing. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a toiv and meitiv. We are under the worst of circumstances, even in great distress, and even with great sickness, and even the most debilitating matzavim. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a toiv and a meitiv, and we keep hammering away at that idea, even when we don't fully understand how so. How is he a Toiv HaMeitiv? Nevertheless, when it came to the Meraglim, the Jews were so discombobulated, they were so completely confounded, that they were able to say the following words, Vateirognu ba'aleichem vatomru, besinas Hashem osanu, hotzionu me'eretz Mitzrayim, vaseis osanu biyad ha'emori lahashmidei. They were able to conjure up the idea that all of this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim was only to enjoy the complete annihilation of Bnei Yisrael. But the Marquis de Sade would not even be willing to do something like that. And they're imputing this in the Ribbono Shel Olam, who has done nothing but good for them. And they're touching up everything that Hashem did, upside down and inside out. Such a people cannot go into Eretz Yisrael. And even when the claimers did tshuva right away, they also weren't listening to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Hashem says, Lo sa'alu v'lo silachamu ki eineni bikir b'chem v'lo tinokfu lifnei oyveichem. And afal pi came. They went. Vayetze ha'amori that lived over there, the kras, and what happened? And of course, the Amori smoked Bnei Yisrael, and they came back licking their wounds. Such a people cannot go into Eretz Yisrael. Not shayach. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun is not good for us to hear right at the beginning of Yom Kippur. You know why? Because then we sit back and we relax and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're in the driver's seat, you're pulling the bus right out of the ditch, we don't have to do a thing. Nobody's turning the winch, nobody's turning the cranks, nobody's schlepping, nobody's pumping the tire rod. No, I don't have to do anything. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun. Vayom Hashem Salach Kidvarecha says, I have to figure out what's wrong with me, and I have to fix myself. And that's only from the Pasuk by the Meraglim. Because it's possible that a person is so corrupt that he can't even go into Eretz Yisrael. So what am I going to do now? So that Erev Yom Kippur, that moment, I don't mean Erev Yom Kippur, I mean the first moment of Yom Kippur, that night, we have to be responsible to fix ourselves And that's why we say Kol Nidre, according to many Mefarshim. Because you have to do whatever you can do. And the Mishnah Berurah says exactly that. So the Mishnah Berurah says, it comes to Yom Kippur, you have to do what you can do. Otherwise, why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu pay any attention to you? So that's why Erev Yom Kippur, you have to ask Mechila. So he has a slightly different take on it. He's not quoting the Pirkei d'Rebbe Elazar. He's not saying because Simas Shalom. He's simply saying, is something you can do? Can you ask for Mechila? I'll tell you an amazing story. I'm a Kohen. Kohanim have a propensity to get angry. I don't know if you're aware of that. Everybody thinks that the get makusha is the raya. I don't know if you know what that is, but there's a whole different kind of get that Kohanim have to have. The Gemara talks about that they have to produce. The sofer has to make a very complicated get where she has many folds and they have to sign on each fold. It takes a long time to do. Very long time. Why? Because if a kohen gets angry at his wife, sooner or later he'll calm down. But if they give him a regular get, he could have the get before he calms down. Now they give him a complicated get, he'll probably calm down first and say, forget about it, I changed my mind. So they say, you see, they made a special get for Kana because they get angry. That's not it. Everybody gets angry. But if a kohen gets angry and he divorces his wife, the consequences are very grave. Because he can't remarry her. He can't take her back. He can't say, I changed my mind. Regular person, until she marries somebody else, he can marry her again. There's a story about a fellow who got a get, and then he turned around and he told the Beis Din, you know what, shtel chuppah. So I said, with whom? So he said, with her. He says, what, are you crazy? He says, for Zivug Sheni, she's okay. Abba Lamaisa, Kohanim do have a propensity for anger, and I think it comes from the kanos of Pinchas and so on, and it comes from this capacity to see a wrong and to be upset about it. And even though the get makusha isn't the raya, but there are other makaras. Anyhow, I've worked on my anger all my life, and Baruch Hashem, I think pretty much I have it nipped in the bud. But that's regular anger. Anger d'kedusha, that's not so pashut. So we had a shul for many years. The new shul, the one that's 24 hours a day. We just made it recently open 24 hours a day. The lights, the air conditioning, the coffee room, the whole nine yards. And there are people, mostly insomniacs, who, you know, insomniac goes out of his mind, turning and twisting and wondering, wandering around the room. Now he has a chance to come and learn. You know, I think that's a guarantee, absolutely. He's going to fall asleep the minute he hits the but the bottom line is that it is open 24/7. But we had a shul before we built this building, and that was a block away, and it was a renovated house. It was actually smaller than this, and it was a very, very quiet shul. No one ever spoke. The new shul is also like that. But no one ever spoke. Somebody once wanted to bring one of these posters, you know, Shesika Yofa Bishas Atfilo or whatever. And I said, what are you doing? So he says, I'm putting up a poster. I said, you're putting up a poster? Nobody even knows that there's such a thing called talking. Why do you have to remind them that there's that possibility? Anyhow, Baruch Hashem. So we nipped it in the bud a long, long time ago, 25 years already. No talking whatsoever. Ever. But we had a bar mitzvah. And the bar mitzvah brings strangers who are not familiar with our customs, like we follow the Shulchan Aruch. So this was this father and son. The son must have been about 30, 40 years old. The father was already a zaken, talking nonstop, and they sat right in front of me. You know, right where Rabbi Aaron is sitting over here, that's where he was, legabe me. And it was unbelievable. I mean, I tried to shush them, and I made Remuzim and Kritzais with my Enayim and Oznayim and Yodayim and Rabbi. But the bottom line was they didn't stop the Shumayim. And the Kayan and me got the best of me. And I blew up at them. Not in the middle of Shema, you understand. But I blew up at them. And I was Mavaza them Barabim. I really was. The Bar Mitzvah Simcha was in the Young Israel across the street because we simply didn't have a facility for it. But I was also going to the Bar Mitzvah. And during that time, I had already calmed down. And I realized that Enochanami, maybe they did something wrong, v'chulu, v'chulu, but lo yizu haderech. I'm only human. And so I decided that since I was mevazed and barabim, I have to ask mechila barabim. That's the halacha also. So they were all seated already by the time I got there. People were talking to me, this and that. By the time I got to the simcha, everybody was seated at their tables. And there he was with his son and the rest of his family and the other people who were for the simcha. There must have been 50, 60 people there. And I said, B'kol Rom, I want to ask you mechila. I was mevazed you, and I, you know, whatever my intentions were, but I should never have said it the way I did. V'chulei, v'chulei. I'm not meichel you. I asked him two times, three times. That's the halacha. Listen, Rabbi. Maybe, and this was his tone, maybe if you call me Erev Yom Kippur, it's about 6 months away, maybe I will be meichel you. And that was the end of it. So that night I came home. I have this program, like all of us have, a PIM, you know, calendar on the computer. I figured out when is Erev Yom Kippur, looked at the calendar, and I wrote in on that date, call so-and-so and ask him for mechila. And subsequently completely forgot about it, and went about my business trying to be Marbitz Torah to Klal Yisrael. Comes Erev Yom Kippur, and I dutifully look at the calendar every day, which is chock full of all kinds of responsibilities, some of them unfortunate, of course, but that's the life of a Rav. And I see that I have to call him to ask him mechila, and I did. So he answers the phone, and I say, this is Rabbi Kahn. Who? Rabbi Kahn from the Shul on East 17th in Flatbush. What do you want? So I said, well, I'll tell you. You told me to call Erev Yom Kippur, maybe you'll give me mechila. And that's what I'm asking for. I'm asking you to be my chum. Of course I didn't see his face. But you have to understand from the quality of the voice, you could see what I can only call a massive transformation. Rabbi Kahn was almost a feminine voice, you should know. No, there was a certain softness. You cannot imagine. Rabbi Kahn, I didn't mean that you should call me. You called me? And then he waits a few seconds. He says, I don't believe that you called me. You don't have to call me. Anyhow, that was pretty much the gist of it, as they say. Kitzer, he was nifter some time later. He was actually a very sick man that I davened for every day. That was one of the things that I think was bothering me. I mean, he didn't know that I was davening for him, but just bothered me. The person has one foot, you know, in the Olam HaEmes. What's all this talking? But in any case, he was nifter. And I went to be Menachemov. And I went into the Ezras Noshim, and one of the daughters knew who I was, but the Almana never, she never knew me. She must have been at that simcha too, but no shaykhus. So the daughter introduced me. This is Rabbi Kahn from the shul on East 17th Street. Rabbi Kahn, my husband loved you. So there is, of course, that Erev Yom Kippur responsibility to make the shalom, and the Erev Yom Kippur responsibility fix everything that is biyotcha to fix before you start asking the Ribbono Shel Olam to do the rest for you. And there is also that Yom Kippur responsibility of, I think that a lot of times we have halacha, you know, there are things to do. And sometimes it's just the right thing to do. And maybe there's a difference between the two of them. I mean, of course, the Torah tells you what is the right thing to do, but sometimes you just have to feel it in a natural, what does it say about Aaron HaKohen? Oyev shalom v'roidev shalom, oyev es habriyos u'makarvon la'tayra. This is something that I'm not the first one to notice that. It doesn't say makarv es habriyos v'oyev osam. It says oyev es habriyos u'makarvon la'tayra. The kiruv sometimes comes because you want to be the Ribbono Shel Olam's agent. And sometimes, and that's what they were saying about Aaron HaKohen, sometimes it's because you really love people. You really love people. And that's a critical nekuda. That's an extremely important thing, especially for a rav. You have to love your people. If you love people, it doesn't mean that you don't criticize them. Maybe it means you criticize them even more because you love them. It's not love dafka. Do I have 5 more minutes? I'd like to finish with an idea. Maybe 6 minutes. Don't worry, the Rav, after 3 hours. So, do you want to hear any more? So now, we have an unbelievable Or HaChaim. Talk about Kiruv. Or HaChaim has a pshat, and a pasuk that we know these psukim, the psukim in Kiseitse, that speak about if you see the sheep of your friend wandering off into the sunset, and you can bring it back and return it to its owner, you should not ignore it, you should return it to its owner. And so you should do for this animal and that animal and his beged and never. And what happens if he's so far away? If he's so far away, he doesn't even, you don't know the address, you don't know whom to return it to. So until he comes to claim it, you have to take it into your house and take care of it. And then when he arrives, gives you the simonim, you'll return it to him. That is, of course, a paraphrase of the psukim. Comes along the Or HaChaim, and only he could do that. Only someone on that caliber could do that. We call him Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Comes along the Or HaChaim and he says, you know which brother they're talking about in this pasuk? He doesn't mean it as Pashup Shat. He knew the Shulchan Aruch as well as we do. But he meant, there's something embedded here. There's something very special here. You know who's your brother? Hashem. Hashem is my brother. That's a madrega. And who's the Shor? Achicha? That's the Tzayin Kadoshim that have strayed and gotten lost. These are the people that have lost their way in Yiddishkeit. It's amazing. So if your brother, Hashem, loses these people, what should you do? You should be Makar of them, and you should be Machiach them, and bring them back to Tshuva. Why is it your brother? So he says as follows. He says, the Ribbono Shel Olam is talking to the highest level of tzaddikim. They're the ones who are entitled to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu their brother. So that you shouldn't be shocked out of your wits. It's not brother, but it's your friend. But Rashi says exactly that in Masechah Shabbos. You know the famous story of Hillel? And the person said, come and teach me Torah al regel achas, and Shammai threw him out. And Hillel said, V'hafta l'reyacha kamocha. Ma'ada aloch soni l'chavruch lo savid. What you don't want that people should do to you, you shouldn't do to anybody else. This is the Yesoi, this is the Ikar, the rest is commentary, v'idach zil gemar. So Rashi says in his first of two pshatim, what does it mean, V'hafta l'reyacha kamocha is the foundation of the entire Torah? The answer is, Reyacha is Hashem. And he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. It's amazing. So for an average person, you can still consider Hashem your friend, then maybe Tzaddikei Olam can consider HaKadosh Baruch Hu their brother. But that's what the Or HaChaim says. And then he says, and what if your brother is far away? What does that mean? Shkinta Begolusa. Hester Ponim. So then you have to be makar of him in spite of the fact that he doesn't even know that he needs to be makar of. He's so far removed because of Hashem's hest upon him. He's so lost. Then you have to take him into your bosom and wait till HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeems him and takes him back. You know, everybody sings Hastara Besocha Hastara. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But nobody knows what Reb Nachman Breslover meant by that, because they don't know the context. Reb Nachman Breslov says that Hester Ponim is a sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not there. Hastara B'socha Hastara is such a bad Hester that you don't even know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not there. So that's what the Or HaChaim is trying to say. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so removed, then you got to work even harder. So what does that have to do with us? So I was thinking, that every person inside of him has this untarnished, unassailable koach, this incredible capacity that never gets lost. We say it every single day. Elokai neshama shenasata bi. You'll notice it doesn't say tahora haisa, but then I messed it up. It says tahora hi. And regardless of what the person did that day, he comes back the next morning, he says elokai neshama shenasata bi tahora. Because there is a chelek elokai mimal that is untouchable. And then there's the rest of us that is full of all kinds of junk and pettiness and smallness. And inside of us, believe it or not, there could be that tzad lost connection to the other tzad. Inside of us, we can be so unconnected to ourselves, we can be so fragmented that we are not even able to communicate. That the neshama does not have the ability to inspire any longer. That it doesn't have, but it's never lost its koach. It just was never given a chance. And what we have to do is allow that koach, which is certainly achicha, because it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be able to take the rest of us in, embrace us, and fix us, and give us that tochacha. Person has unbelievable capacity. The niftar taught us that. How could you even listen to a shir? It's such debilitating, such terrifying and debilitating machla. How could you even listen to a shir? How could you continue and prevail? And it takes a tremendous amount of courage, but I think what it was is that the koach inside of him said, Torah is so wonderful and so beautiful that actually mitigated it. It actually unraveled some of the pain and gave purpose and meaning to every moment so that you didn't have to constantly worry, but how many moments do I have left? Because each moment became a world, each moment became a century, because the Koach HaTorah was able to do that. And that Koach came from within. And all of us, we should all be well and healthy, but all of us have that incredible capacity. We really do. You know, it's not just a high school kid that has the ability to teach his children Mishnayos. It's this the point of why are we here and what are we doing and why are we alive and what is life all about? And when you start making that cheshbon, then you start saying to yourself, well, so where do I have the koichos to make any difference? And the answer is, it's all inside of you. Every one of us. Elokai neshama shenasata bi tahorahi. Should be zoicha to the, should be a tremendous Rebbe for all of us. The Nifter, and should have a wonderful year, a year of gezunt and hatzlocha, panosa b'shefa, be able to understand the importance of life and live the kind of life that we can be proud of every moment, not just the Rebbe Lazar ben Dudaya last moment, yesh kon olama b'sha achas. And we should be zeichet that we don't have to ask mechila, but in case we do, maybe it's a good idea to manage it before Yom Kippur. We should be zeichet to the geula shleima b'mehela v'yomeinu amen.